Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who do you trust? That was the name of a game show, a TV game show, back in the late 50s, early 60s, hosted by Johnny Carson. Now, the game was to answer questions yourself or trust your partner, whom you didn't necessarily know before the show. You would trust them to answer them for you. So the question really was, do you trust yourself or someone else? And that question is what God is asking in today's Old Testament lesson. Who do you trust to decide who is God? Who do you trust to answer that most fundamental question of questions? God says in Isaiah today, I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? There's the question. Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. When God asks, who then is like me? He's teaching us. He is teaching us who is God and therefore who to trust. He points out two important things. One, that he is before and after all things. I am the first and the last. And two, he challenges anyone who claims to be God to tell what has happened and what will happen regarding his creation. The point is that no one else has the qualifications to meet the challenges God puts forward. Think about it. Who else is before anything? Think about the gods that people used to create in order to worship. Think about the idols and the statues, the things that people prayed to. They were made by human hands from stone or wood or metal, stuff that already existed. How could they have anything like divine power when they were made with human hands? Now, another television show that I enjoy watching is called How It's Made. Anybody else ever watch that? Yeah. Yeah, I like that show. You get to see inside factories and foundries and all manner of things and see how it's all made and manufactured. And I saw a show not long ago on how they make disc brake pads. Yay, kind of boring, I know. But the reality is, we need those things every time we get in the car. We trust our lives to our brake pads every time we get in the car. So it's pretty important. And seeing how something is made helps remove the mystery from it. Now, I want you to remember that because I'm going to come back around to that point in a minute. But people today, they still make idols, don't they? People make idols of things with their own imagination. People imagine that the things they buy or the things they possess will give them the power of happiness, give them the power of contentment. People feel that if they have the remote control, they're in power. People imagine all sorts of things when it comes to having power or when it comes to gaining power. They want power for themselves. However, if they're wise enough to know that they are not in power, then they need to know who to trust. Who has power that they can rely on? That's the point God is making by asking his question and challenging people's false beliefs. He's confronting the sin. He's confronting the sin in our lives by saying, who but me truly has power? God alone is before any and every other thing. He only has the power to create from nothing. Only God alone is the first and the last. That's what Jesus says of himself in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That tells us that Jesus is God and therefore has the power of God. Only the true God can be before anything exists or they aren't God. Only God can create from nothing. Now, remember what I wanted you to remember before. Tying the truth that only God can create from nothing to the idea of seeing how something is made helps remove the mystery from it. I want us to move now to the gospel lesson for today. Jesus tells us again this week another agricultural parable. This one is about weeds and wheat growing together. Again, as I like to learn how things are made, I looked up about how wheat grows. It's kind of interesting. It's pretty amazing how God has designed wheat to grow. After wheat is planted, it takes in water from the soil very, very quickly so that it can begin the growth process. Once the seed coat, that top part there, once the seed coat is split open from taking in the moisture, it starts to send out roots within 2 to 3 days. Wheat continues to grow by sending roots down to absorb more water and nutrients, and at the same time, it sends shoots up to the surface where it can gain what it needs from the light to continue the growth process. It needs to do both things. It needs to send its roots down and its shoots up. Now, when you think about this in relationship to the parable that Jesus tells us, the parable takes on new meaning. Jesus says that an enemy has come and sown weeds among the wheat. But the farmer instructs the workers to leave the weeds and the wheat to grow up together so that the wheat is not uprooted. Remember, 2 to 3 days it starts sending out roots. It's important for the growth of the wheat to have its roots undisturbed and allowed to go down and soak up water and nutrients. Now, if the wheat is doing that, so also are the weeds. The weeds are also after a share of the resources that the wheat needs to grow. But notice that the farmer doesn't seem to be concerned about that aspect of things. God, the farmer, knows that the wheat will have all it needs to grow. God will supply everything the wheat needs in spite of the weeds. It's simply a matter of the wheat sending down roots and sending shoots up as God made it to do. Only in that way will the wheat produce a crop for its harvest. As I said with the kids today, it is not the wheat's job to be concerned with what the weeds are doing. The wheat is to grow and flourish in what the farmer alone provides. Listen again. It is not the wheat's job to separate itself from the weeds. It is not the wheat's job to separate itself from the weeds. The farmer and his workers, Jesus says those are his angels, that'll be their job when the harvest comes. The wheat is to grow. It's supposed to flourish. It's supposed to multiply. And that only happens as it feeds on the water and nutrients that the farmer provides. God is the creator. God is the designer, like we talked about from the Old Testament lesson. The creator is the one We trust in to see and to know all that goes on. Our trust in Him for our provision, for what we need to grow. And not, it's that provision is in Him, not in ourselves. The Creator is also the farmer in today's gospel lesson. And He alone has the responsibility. He alone has the responsibility for separating the wheat from the weeds at harvest time. It's the way He has made things to be. We too, as wheat, send our roots down into the soil and water of God's Word, like we spoke about last week. And we send our shoots up into the fellowship that comes within the church of God. We trust. We trust that God gives the growth by His Word and by His fellowship in His church here on earth. God is. God is. He is before all things. He's the one who created life, and He's the one who really knows how all things work. And only He can see the heart. And so He knows the weeds from the wheat. Now, we don't need to worry. You don't need to worry, am I weed or am I wheat? God has given His only Son to die on the cross to make us His own. We are the wheat of God's field because of the Word of God sown in our hearts and through His Spirit living in us by His grace and by His mercy alone. By His Word, again, His Word sown in our hearts, we have been given what we need to feed on. Remember that God's Word is the water of life for us. Wheat takes in water so it can grow. That is what we do in God's Word. Our concern is not about whether or not we feel like we are weeds or wheat. God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, God, the Sustainer of life, has given the life of His only Son, Jesus Christ, into death so that we can know that we are God's own for all eternity. In the epistle lesson from Romans today, St. Paul also makes an agricultural reference concerning the certainty of our eternal salvation. Read with me what he said. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits, as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. Our being saved is accomplished. It's done. As he said, in this hope we were saved. And about the idea of our having the first fruits of the Spirit. What do you do when you want to keep fruit and retain all of its flavor? You preserve it. I read a blog post a day or two ago from a woman who said, I have fond memories of spending long days in the kitchen with my mother putting up tomatoes. I now spend days in the kitchen with my daughter canning. I love this phrase. Nothing beats opening a can of something in the middle of winter and smelling summer. Isn't that great? It's a great way, it's a wonderful way to describe what it means to keep fruit in such a way that it doesn't spoil. The fruit doesn't do that for itself. You do that. It's that sense of being preserved that comes with the phrase Paul used, we were saved. In the Greek, that's one word, and that idea of preservation colors that Greek word. Our being preserved has been accomplished and completed for us by God. We didn't do that ourselves. We couldn't do that ourselves. Paul simply tells us we are now waiting. Waiting to be gathered into, as we sang in the hymn, waiting to be gathered into God's barn or into his garner, into his storehouse. We are the fruit. We are the harvest. We are the grain that God has assured us is his own. He does that by Jesus' resurrection from his death on the cross. Jesus is the guarantee that when the harvest comes, we will be gathered into his storehouse. As it says on the bulletin cover, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Today, we are nourished. Today we are preserved in the word of our Father God from heaven. We are his growing wheat. We're to be growing and becoming stronger in the field where God has planted us. We're called to give a good yield when the harvest comes. We send down our roots into God's word. We send up our shoots into fellowship in God's church. We go from here today knowing it is God that we trust in, not in ourselves. And we are certain of his grace and mercy to us. That grace alone allows us to flourish and grow in his garden. In that way, we return to the farmer the harvest that he's created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.